Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you are going to continue to learn, apply, and pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family are not only going to just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Louder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us again today. It really is. Now, where are we going to be headed during our 30-minute time together? Well, first of all, during the Your Finances in Perilous Times radio seminar, you are going to take your second look at what is really going on in our economy today. You see, last week, we began to learn about our economy based on the world's perspective. This week, you are going to discover what God has to say about where we are economically in our nation today. And then Dave Ramsey is going to suggest a solution or two as to how to correct where we are economically. And finally, leading Christian author, teacher, trainer, speaker, John Maxwell, well, he is going to share with us his thoughts on the word desire. Man, what a great word for these economic times. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together with the Lord. You're not going to want to miss a minute of today's program. And as we start, well, as we always start, will you please join me in a word of prayer? Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear to your glory? In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Now, during our last time together, last week, you discovered from the world some startling facts that surround our national economy as well as our personal finances. For example, you saw that an economy, any economy, is based on people wanting to buy what others want to produce. Now, no problem there. However, you also saw, for the most part, the government of the United States of America attempts to administer our national economy based on the failed principles and practices of Keynesian economics. Recall that Keynesian economics is committed to manipulate the country, to manipulate the economy through the use of credit, to try to create jobs and take care of people no matter what the circumstances. Now, that was last time, all right? Oh, and by the way, remember, you can always go to our website at christianfinancialministries.org to either re-listen to this program or last week's program or any program and even get a transcript of those programs, okay? So, last time, you saw some bad news. The bad news is that our national economy is pretty much based on the failed economic theory known as Keynesian economics. And this national failure, man, it has worked its way down into our states and even into every area of our local communities and economies and even into our personal finances. Now, that's all the bad news. However, this bad news, what it's done is laid the foundation for all of the good news about what can be done about all of the bad news. Okay? You see, according to the Bible, our national economy, as well as our personal finances, by the way, our national economy can move from where they are to where God would have them to be. Last week, we saw our national economy and even our personal economic situations is based on what the world has to say. This week, let's see what God's Word has to say. All right? Okay, first and foremost, what does God have to say not only about our nation, but listen, about any nation that would ever choose to follow His commandments and principles to include His economic and financial principles and commandments? You see, if we choose to do finances His way as a nation, and we choose to do it His way, well, according to Deuteronomy 28, 12 to 13, the Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of His bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. All right? Listen, that's what we can expect if we follow, if we as a nation choose to follow God's plan. However, you know what? God always knew that there were going to be people, there were going to be nations who would choose not to do it His way. He says basically that if any individual, any family, any nation, listen, if the United States of America chooses not to follow His principles and His commandments, to include His financial principles and commandments, so listen, if we choose to ignore His word, well, He gives us a warning as to what we can expect. Again, look into God's word, into the Bible, Deuteronomy 28, 43 and 44. Listen, if we choose not to live and do finances His way, then the alien who lives among you will rise above you higher and higher, but you will sink lower and lower. He will lend to you. You will not lend to him. He will be the head. You will be the tail. Now, I got to believe it does not take the gift of discernment to figure out where we are and where we may be headed in our country today, right? You see, our economy is sick. Uncle Sam is sick. For example, have you ever noticed that, oh my goodness, so many of the very few new plants and buildings that are going up in this country today, have you ever noticed that, well, they don't have those good old Irish American names on them anymore? Have you noticed that? But they have names like Honda and Yamaha and Toyota and a whole bunch of other names we can't even pronounce. Did you know that back in 1985, the United States became the single largest debtor nation in the world? And that every year, listen, every year, we are selling more and more of our national wealth to foreign interests. I mean, look at the huge amount of real estate that's being bought up by foreign countries, by foreign people. Truly, the foreigner is rising higher and higher above us. Listen, more and more of us are working for foreign owners right here in our own land. Now let me ask you, do you think this sickness is an indicator of God's blessing for following His precepts, or maybe His judgment for our disobedience? I got to believe that a reasonable man or woman would, well, you would probably agree that we just might be witnessing God's warning being placed into effect in this country. Would you agree? But what can we do? What can we do? Well, the answer is pretty simple. Pretty simple. There are only three ways a nation, any economy, any business, any family or individual that, listen, there are only three ways to respond to see what's going on in this nation today. Okay, three things we can do. Only three. Here they are. And remember, I would suggest listening right now, and then you can go back and read the transcript later from the website, okay? Three ways our nation and our families can respond to our current economic distresses. First of all, get on and stay on a budget that balances, or better yet, get back to where you spend less than you make. Now, I got to tell you, it doesn't appear that the majority of our elected officials are really serious about balancing the national budget anymore. How can I say that? Well, because it would require some hard choices, choices that you and I would have a hard time living with. But more than that, the data shows it's not likely our national leaders are going to balance the budget. Let me share with you some facts. Oh boy, pay attention. This is really, this will get your attention. Listen. Do you know what it would have taken to balance the budget way back in 1992? I mean, there was talk of trying to balance the national budget way back in 1992. Now, do you know what it would have taken way back then? Well, we would have had to cut government spending across the board by 40%. What does that mean? I mean, that means 40% reduction in the military. Reduce entitlements and grants and food stamps by 40%. Cut all government paychecks by 40%. anything and everything having to do with the government, cut it by 40%. But that's not it. That's not all. Even with cutting everything by 40%, they would have to tax every taxpayer at 50% of his or her income, a 50% tax bracket for everybody. I got to tell you, even back in 1992, nobody had the political nerve to even try to put this into practice, but that's what it would have taken. 40% across the board and a 50% tax bracket. I tell you, most of the folks we know don't, they got to believe that, you know, balancing the national budget isn't something that's going to happen anytime soon, okay? But it is something our country could choose to do. It is something our country could choose to do, but most simply do not believe it's ever going to get done. So number one, we as a nation, well, we're probably not going to balance our budget. Now, what's the second thing that we could do to right our national economic ship? Well, as a nation, we could also choose to default on all of our debt, to simply not honor all of our treasury notes and bills and bonds and all of the rest. That would mean that our country would declare, well, they would declare technically we would be bankrupt as a nation. This is simply to say that we would tell all of the governments and all of the people, all of the businesses who hold any of our national debt, we'll say, you know, we're sorry about that. We can forget about ever getting repaid anything, right? We're simply going to wipe the slate clean and start over again. Now, if that were to happen, I got to tell you, there'd be rioting in the streets here in the United States and across the world. But do you know what? There are those who say that it may come to national bankruptcy as part of a transition into a one-world political and into a one-world economic system. But most folks, well, they don't see that happening, at least not yet. Okay, but defaulting on our national debt, that is a second choice that we could make. So it's not likely we're going to balance our budget or default on our national debt. So what other choice is left? Well, it is the only thing that has been tried throughout history, time after time after time. With any nation, when that nation has ever been in the shape that we find ourselves in right now today. Now, what is it? What do they do? What do they try? What is the only other thing that they can try? Monetarizing the debt. And what does this mean? Remember, we talked about that last week. This means more, a whole lot more borrowing and a whole lot more of printing more and more money. But we've already seen that this doesn't work, right? I mean, what happens when we try to spend our way out of debt and print more and more money? What happens? We begin to see inflation, right? And listen, I am not talking about the kind of inflation numbers that we've seen in our lifetime. Oh, no. Hey, 8, 10, 15%? Oh, that's minimum. That's nothing. Listen, history shows that when any nation starts to print money and spend their way out of debt to fuel their economy, what they end up with is something called hyperinflation. I mean, take a look back in history at what happened to Mexico, Argentina, Peru, Chile, Brazil. I mean, there was a time in Brazil when they saw 1,000% inflation rates. Argentina went through a time when they were experiencing an inflation rate of 5,600%. 100%. And then history books will tell you a lot about what happened in post-World War Germany. My friend, this is the truth. This is history. And this truth in history doesn't paint a very pretty picture, does it? And by the way, you can still read all about this in history books that still tell you the truth, okay? I tell you, history does show in this country, we really started to go downhill when we went off of the gold standard and we started on the entitlements program. Let me give you some more facts. Do you realize that for over 200 years, we had a whole lot of people suffering in this country? We really did. I'm sure you know that. We had a lot of folks suffering economically in the cities and the country and every place in between. We had people suffering in slavery. We had people in a bad way in this country for 200 years. But for 200 years, we had what no one could ever take away and no amount of money could ever buy or replace. What was it? We still had our family. Do you realize that for over 200 years, I think this is interesting, for over 200 years, it was illegal for the government of the United States to take tax money from one person and give it to another. Do you realize that? I mean, the Supreme Court of the United States declared that redistribution of wealth as unconstitutional time after time after time. My, haven't we come a long way? Now, putting all of this together, man, we can look back over the, oh, I don't know, the last, what, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90 years, and we can see that our system of welfare, of government entitlements, has done what 200 years of oppression couldn't do. It has caused the breakup of the family. Listen, my friend, when we allow the government to make it more profitable for a woman to have a baby than have a husband, we are headed in the wrong direction. We're asking for trouble. You know what? There are gangs in the streets now for a large part because there are no dads in the home. Now, granted, a dad can still be in the home and still not be in the home, if you know what I'm talking about here. My friend, listen, a father in the home can never be replaced by a check from the government. It just can't. So what do we need to do? Well, you and I, we need to get involved and help reverse the financial incentives that encourage the breakup of our families. And this is one of the things all of our times together are going to be all about, getting involved. Now listen, wait. Now, don't get me wrong here. I am not approaching this radio seminar political. Not at all. Now, true, we blame a lot of what's happening to our nation on our government, and rightly so. But this is not, our situation is not a Republican problem. It is not a Democrat problem or the problem of anybody in between. You see, I got to believe there's enough political blame to go around. But it is time for you and me to stop blaming and get involved. You see, the solutions do not come from Washington, my friend. They do not. The solutions that we need are found one place, and that is in God's Word. Now, how can you choose to get involved? How about agreeing to get into God's Word and then prayerfully get His Word up and operating in your heart, in your life, and then sharing what God has given you with other people? What about that? You see, the Bible says that if you want to change what's going on around you, first of all, you must prayerfully change what's going on inside you. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. How are we doing on time? Well, oh, my goodness. Lots, I know, a lot of information. This week, last week, a lot of information, okay? We've seen that an economy is based upon people willing to buy what others want to produce. We've seen that, for the most part, our national leaders follow failed Keynesian economics, which is committed to manipulate the economy through the use of credit. You see, our history is clear, and so is our present condition. God's Word tells us that as long as we continue to go down the road that we're headed down right now, then we're going to continue to borrow. We're going to continue to be in debt to the foreigner. That's exactly where we've been. That's exactly where we're going to continue. And we will continue to be the economic tail and not the head. You see, my friend, we've made some mistakes at the national level, down through big business and small business, through churches and families. And these mistakes have found their way into every aspect of our life. Now, that is the bad news. But like I said just a little bit ago, like the Lord is showing us, there is good news. I mean, the good news is that there is hope. The Bible tells us that there is hope. You see, there are solutions. There are things that you and I, as individuals, that we can prayerfully put into place, okay? Now, let me ask you again. For example, let me ask you again. How do you get rid of a bad habit? Do you remember? Well, you got to first recognize a bad habit and then replace it with a good habit, right? What I got to believe from God's word is that we need to recognize that we as a country, as a church, that as individuals, listen, we've been led down a worldly road into some lousy economic habits, habits that regularly and routinely get us into trouble. We have been taught well, we've just been taught the wrong things. We have been taught to live by the world's financial standards. But there is a way out. If we want to take it, there is a way out. And the way out is to move away from man's economic and financial principles and move back into God's economics and financial principles found in His Word, the Bible. Remember His basic instructions before leaving earth? Listen, my friend, as far as I know, this is the first and only book God ever wrote, and it has in it everything we will ever need. We need to first recognize and prayerfully move to replace our bad habits with habits based on God's word, based on God's economy, not man's. Remember what we said earlier? Finances are never a problem. You don't have any financial problems. Finances are always the symptom. What is the true problem? Listen, the true problem is always spiritual. And what do we know from God's word? There are always spiritual solutions to spiritual problems. Now, I pray that this look at the United States economy today, my friend, I pray that it's been both informative, it's been motivating for you. God's given it to us for a reason. You've seen some bad news and some good news. But listen to me here as we are about to close out this seminar time together. Remember, God is all about turning the bad news into good news. Because you see, as a Christian, you can choose to either be part of the problem or you can be part of the solution. And right now, if you are like most Christians, you've got to be probably part of the problem because you're no more debt-free than anybody else. You and all of us need to move to become part of the solution. How do you get to be part of the solution? Well, you get back into God's word so that you can change your attitudes, so that you can recognize and replace ungodly habits. And then what can you start to do? Well, you can begin to live out your changed attitudes and your changed habits and help other folks do the same. And remember, if you need some help to live out what the Lord puts in, well, then why not seek the help of a trained Bible-based financial coach from Crown Ministries or the Dave Ramsey Organization? And by the way, what else can you do? Okay, well, you can come back here next week and start to dig deeper into all of what the Lord has to tell you about money. For example, next time, you are going to take a huge step down your personal road to financial freedom God's way as you begin to learn about the first of the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word. Listen, all of those 3,000-plus verses in the Bible about money, well, they all reduce down to two critical financial principles. You are going to discover the first of the two most important financial principles in all of God's Word next week. So, I'll see you then. I sure hope so. Now, I am sure that it comes as no surprise to you that our friend Dave Ramsey has something to say about our current economic situation and what we can do about it. Let's listen.
Hey, Dave, help me with this real quick. We don't have very much time. In a minute, help me understand what is happening with the economy, because it feels like people are still hiring, businesses are still making money, and that I don't fully understand it, but the Fed's trying to crash it.
Yeah.
They're trying to run it up against the wall, and I don't understand that.
Well, because you're a logical human.
No one's ever said that before.
Yeah. No,
like, if it feels like they're trying to run it into a bridge.
They've said out loud they want to cause unemployment.
Help me understand the rational
concept.
Line.
The concept is if we slow the economy down because of unemployment, then the prices will stop going up. It's in an effort to squash inflation. The problem is that's not what caused inflation.
Right.
A speedy economy isn't what caused inflation. It was horrible domestic policy on oil. Mm-hmm. Turn the spigot off, the prices go up. No kidding. Okay, so Biden sticker, I did that for sure.
Yeah.
The other parts of inflation were COVID related, not COVID related. They're quarantine.
Just the lag.
They're quarantine related. Right. You shut down the factories on cars. There's no cars, so the price of cars goes way up. Mm-hmm. You shut down the factory on producing lumber. There's no lumber, so the price of lumber goes up. Oh, wait, now we started the factories back. So now there's cars again. Now there's lumber again. It's starting to smooth out. Lumber's back down.
That's what I mean. So if you wait a hot minute.
If you wait a hot minute and quit screwing around with it, trying to fix it with the wrong tool, quit using a hammer on a Phillips screw. I mean, really. Mm. And that's the problem, and that's why everybody's so pissed off. Even Bernie Sanders came out and said this is the wrong thing.
It's yeah. Well,
me and Bernie Sanders agreed on something.
Yeah, no, I felt my feet getting cold, and I was like, hell's freezing over.
This just happened. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like Dave and Bernie agree about something. Well, that's twice in 6 months we agreed about
something. I'm not near as smart economically, but I remember at the start of deer season last year, the shelves in the ammo department and at Academy was wiped out.
Yep.
And then I went there the other day, and they are full top to bottom. And my first thought was, the factories must be catching up.
Yep.
And then I thought, well, what? Maybe I'm missing something, but why are they trying to drive this thing in
the
ditch?
Well, there's two things that cause prices to go through the roof, okay? Two potential things that we're discussing here anyway. One type of inflation is what we had in the 70s, and it was just a white-hot economy. Mm-hmm. Everything kept going up, and everybody got away with it, and so it went up again, then it went up again, then it went up again, and it was just prosperity heaped on top of prosperity, mix in a little greed, and boom, okay? And that's... There was a monetary policy in those days, in the late 70s, early 80s, very similar to this. George Volcker was head of the Fed back then. And I was actually an adult and remember this. But, you know, and so they did the same thing. They just jacked rates up to freeze, to slow down the economy. But that inflation in the 70s was a different kind of inflation.
Gotcha.
This inflation was domestic oil production related and quarantine supply-demand curve related.
Gotcha.
And if they'd leave it alone, they're going to mess it up further. Is what
That's what it
do.
Feels like when I keep opening
they're
grill to see
it up
if
further.
My briskets.
Yeah.
The more I open the grill, the more I screw it up.
Exactly.
If I just leave it alone.
Exactly. If you just let it cook, man, let it cook. It'll turn out.
Perhaps the most passionate word that you and I know is desire. Hi, John Maxwell here. Welcome to Minute with Maxwell. Desire has the potential of overcoming about everything. I've known people with great desire, but they didn't have a lot of good experience that achieved much. I've known people have great desire and they lacked giftedness. And they achieved much. I've known people who have a great desire, and their plan wasn't that great, but they still accomplished some great things. Desire, passion, it kind of makes up for the things that we lack in our life. It's just kind of like find a person on fire, and you're going to watch a person do something well and do something great. Why? It's that energy that desire and passion gives us. It's that energy that causes us to climb over the mountains and run through the obstacles and basically never consider the fact that it couldn't be done. You see, it was done in our heart before it was done in our life, and that's where the desire comes from. So the next time you're ready to do something big, don't look at how big what you're trying to accomplish is. Ask yourself the question, how big is my desire? Because that's going to determine if you accomplish that big thing in your life. Thanks for being with me today on Minute with Maxwell.